Let's start at the beginning. Where did the idea for all of this start with? What is the beginning of the story?
Well, the beginning of the story of Smart Confirm starts actually with Mark IV Brokerage. Mark IV Brokerage is an execution team at the CME where Eurodollar is now SOFR options. So we are open outcry focused firm. We execute for large brokerage firms and bank sales desks and such. And our role as an execution broker is providing the best price, liquidity, and markets available for our clients, as well as, you know, market information, historical data. And then between the years of 2003 and 2008, obviously with the electronic trading and the futures shifting over and all the different consolidations after the great financial crisis in 2008 and different regulations, the requirements of the floor brokers, and by consolidation, I mean, these end brokers would go through off-floor brokers, then a desk broker, and then to the pit and the clerk. And so the main global players were looking to access the market directly. And as the end of the shovel, I guess you'd say, as the execution broker, they started to come in direct. And so some of the requirements of the pit brokers changed. And so we would have to provide end of month trade detail, as well as trade confirmations. And so instead of in the old days, we could just say, yeah, Bob, I bought 5,000 flies, you're filled. Now we would have to type these confirmations out individually, send them back, and then the off-floor brokers would then have their clerks typing into their middleware systems, which we found each one uses a different middleware system as we were trying to fit trades on these confirmations back. And so just going around listening to the clients, the biggest complaints that we found on not using the floor versus a computer, or how can we just grow our volumes in general or help you? And the main things were the complications in the confirmations, inaccurate confirmations. And then if a clerk enters a trade in the middleware system, which their end client is facing, throws off the risk, it throws off the trade and everything that we're trying to accomplish. And then down to the manual key punch. So the cards would get manually carded up, handed off, 15, 20 minutes later, they would get picked up, then sent off for manual key punch. Now, on a normal day, those systems will run, you know, probably an hour or 2 hours. And when we hit these huge volume spikes and volatility, like we saw in March, we saw in 18, we saw in, during COVID, you have to have the ability to get these trades back to the clients quickly. And so in 2015 is when Mike Ashcraft joined us. After my back officer used to manually punch all of these trades at the end of the month so we could submit detail and everything. And so it was, Mike was a friend of mine and he was available. And I'm like, I need some help with Excel. Is there any way we could start building these confirmations so that we have the data at the end of the month for the clients available, the tickets ready to go? And that's where Mike Ashcraft stepped in. And we were, our focus was to eliminate these three issues. The key punch, the manual punch, the confirmations, and then ultimately the give up, which is also an antiquated system back from the early 90s, in my understanding.
Yeah, when I came on the scene, I was trying to find where the biggest inefficiencies were, and I realized that you had a bunch of different people all either writing, handwriting, or typing the same thing over and over, and my idea was like, wouldn't it be great if you just have one person put it in to one, have one source, put it in one time, and then from that one place, disperse it out to however, you know, in whatever formats it needed to be in, emails, files. And so, yeah, that's when I got to work on, you know, I built a prototype in Excel that did what we needed it to do. But we knew that there was, we could take it further. And, you know, the ultimate was, you know, even though we were uploading these files, then we would, the cards, and we could print out trading cards now instead of handwriting, but even the printed cards would have to go and wait in line for a key puncher to manually enter them into CME's front end clearing system. We thought, well, couldn't we, we already have this in the electronic format. Let's just, could we submit this directly to the exchange. So we met with the exchange, and that was the big breakthrough was being able to basically punch our own trades. So from the same source where the customer is getting the email confirmation, then just a few minutes later, the trade is sent on their behalf into the clearing system where it populates there, and then it flows on to the middlewares or wherever else it needs to go. But it's there and processed and can be allocated, ready to be allocated in record time.
Well, one of the main things that we ran into with Excel, one, the limitation is on the structures. So the SOFR and Eurodollar products are complicated structures. We have trades with up to 60 legs, cross futures reference, things like that. And so when we started with the middleware uploading, that's a one-way stream. So you can't load into a middleware system and have it punch and have it allocate to all the different types of systems and books. So at that point, that's when we realized we would have to go through the CME, achieve outside vendor, and go to a cloud-based system that's secure and meets all the bank standards, CME standards, and a very long process. But as we were growing, our clients were seeing the benefits right when we started. And so we started with the FCMs. We started actually in the S&P futures for the S&P roll traders. Instead of starting directly with Eurodollar options, we thought it would be best to start with a simpler product. So the roll traders, what would go on is the smaller roll traders in the morning, they would make the roll trades. They would execute their hedge on the electronic platform, but their cards for the manual trades on the floor would take too long to get back. They would take over an hour, hour and a half. And these guys were smaller. They would be locked out of the market. So they asked us, hey, can we use this to punch our floor roll trades? And that's where we really started, was the S&P futures rolls, and then expanded from there.
When you decided to bite the bullet and to make this a full-blown business, go to the cloud and achieve vendor status and all that, how did you fund this?
It was funded out of the growth of Mark IV. It actually became kind of a lost leader for us. It took our volumes, and we could show you on a chart, but I don't know, 4x higher than we were. So at that point, it was full steam ahead. How do we get how do we keep working forward? Mike continually builds a list on how we can make it more efficient. All the checks, the balances, we're pulling prices for leg calculators, everything. And so we built in Smart Confirm, we manage an electronic working deck. And so I'm speaking as a user mainly of the app and what it's done for our brokerage group. So for me personally, we can manage an electronic book, change prices, adjust structures on the fly at pace during busy times, get these confirmations back to the client in just a couple of minutes. And I don't care if it has 50, 60 legs, these trades are back in books, in their clients' books. And it really became a premium service. And it was proven. It's an aggressive environment, as you can imagine. Execution brokerage is almost commoditized. The brokers that are in there in our community are the best around that's in Chicago. Many have tried to compete in that space. And this really set Mark IV apart. It set us apart in such a major way. And we've seen from the Bloomberg chats when clients are like, okay, what do we, more recently, some of the OTC cash brokers hadn't used the futures product. They're back looking at SOFR and they were like, I haven't used this product in 20 years. How does this work? And we're like, just hold on 1 second. Don't touch anything. And then poof, they're like, oh, I see it. And the next guy's like, this is like magic. He's like, this is amazing. This is not like the old futures execution of the old days. So really it became a proprietary system from about 2015 to the COVID shutdown. We were just using it in-house. Mark IV was the only group using it for full punch, full electronic book, and going from there before the shutdown. Once the shutdown came, then our community was under all different stresses. right after the shutdown, our clients were like, don't worry about it. We've got this. We'll execute on the screen until you guys come back. And I would say it was probably 2 to 3 weeks later, my clients were calling and asking us if we would do the electronic execution, as they were having error risk and massive errors. It's not like the old days when you'd have a 50 grand error and your boss would say, okay, go ahead and work out of it. Now these guys will have to go through risk management, explain why they're out 50 grand or more, and they still need to exit that trade plus execute the trade that's owed to the client. So a lot of my salesmen were calling, my clients were calling and asking us to do it. And I said that I couldn't. At the time, we were a open outcry centered execution team. And so then a few months later, the exchange was like, okay, we're going to get the floor back open. And when we reopened with all the restrictions, as well as some other threats to the community, I felt that it was best and there was a need for this product to, it would be more beneficial to the community to lease it out to others. And so we've done that. It is a premium service. And our clients have stood by us with that, and they take it serious. I mean, the ability to have your clients' trades back in a volatile session within a couple of minutes, it's huge. And it's made a big difference, not only in our volume, but also the brokers now that have adopted it. Some have grown their groups by 3 and 4x. Some groups are still just using it to pick at certain accounts and not adopting fully. But I think that the community as a whole is seeing this as a benefit overall.
What has it done to the volumes? What have, well, SOFR volumes done since we started Open Outcry again after the pandemic has hit?
It's been amazing. Because let me tell you, for me to say the end of Eurodollars would have been catastrophic. But the product has been amazing. The interest in it is amazing. We are getting more and more interest from cash and OTC guys. And what I mean by that is in 95, when I started, the Open Outcry arena was, at least for Eurodollars, was approximately 5% of the total volume. The futures market now has been tracking, I believe, around 1.5% of the total cash market volume. And I believe that we are growing that. The product itself is seeing record volumes. We're seeing record volumes. Hell, in the first quarter of 2023, we processed more on Smart Confirm than we did in 2019. And back then, we did have it going in other pits. We had three groups in the treasuries. I wasn't allowing it for other groups other than just building some tickets, not for punch and Eurodollars or SOFR, but we had treasuries, we had equities going, we had some ags going. I mean, it was really exciting. And we were turning the dial back. Mike has more of the stats on where we were actually as a community in 2015 when we turned it on to where we were. I know when we reopened, the floor was only about 47% of the total venue volume. And we're only open 6 hours and 40 minutes versus 24 hours for the other. And we were around 47%. And I think the floor as a whole community, not just Smart Confirm, hit like 62 or 63% in March, which has been really exciting. We handle the risk, we get the trades back, and the clients are very happy with the service. And it's inexpensive for what we offer as a community, managing the risk, executing the trades, providing the prices and the liquidity across the board. And as far as the SOFR liquidity, we're seeing more and more investment come in. And the market making community is deep. These products are deep. 10, 50,000 lot orders at a clip we're moving, even hundreds of thousands at a clip, which it's larger than the Eurodollars, in my opinion.
Michael, what do you have to say about the volume?
Yeah, I think, well, prior to the shutdown, the pit accounted for just under 50%, I think, on average, the few months right before the shutdown. So the floor closed down in mid-March and reopened in early August of 2020. It was still 100% Eurodollars at that point. But in 2022, the shift started and SOFR volume started picking up. And I think by the middle of the year, it had switched and it's now nearly 100%, or it is 100%. There's just only the June contract is left for the next week or so, and then it'll be 100% SOFR. But yeah, it's completely taken over. And now the pit, these last 3 months, SOFR volume has accounted for 64% of the total SOFR volume. So open outcry. There's CME puts out under their volume reports, there's one called Web Volume Comparison that shows open outcry for the previous month and then the previous month a year ago. And you can compare that with the total volume for the product, SOFR. And last, I don't have, May is not available yet, but for April, it was 67%.
The floor? I didn't even know that.
67% just for SOFR was open outcry.
All right. That's good news.
That's great.
Walk me back a little bit. You guys had mentioned that the CME Innovation Lab had been helpful to you when you were first getting started and trying to figure all this out. Can you tell me about how they were helpful to you?
Yes. That we were invited to go to the Innovations Lab to show them what we had built, what direction we wanted to go. And the Innovation Lab, at least from our experience, they were taking a look at the product to see if it was worthy or worth pursuing outside vendor status. So we had a couple of meetings there. In the olden days, there was a tablet where you would card the trades directly in the pit. And they wanted to make sure that we weren't doing something similar to that. And we're not. And it's all click. There's no typing. We build the structures. They're in the working book. Order gets filled. We send it to the client. Client agrees. That's the trade that we did. Off it goes. So the two people involved in the trade are the ones managing the trade and taking control of it. Because in the past, if you had errors, you were put in the box or the penalty box for a day or two, depending on what the mistake was by your clerks. And so it was very frustrating. That's why we pushed forward. But the Innovations Lab, the CME, everyone there was amazing, very professional. And it's a responsive place to work. I mean, basically the trading floor, the EOS, I mean, it's like a giant playground platform that you can build different systems, and traders build different systems all the time. So why not brokers? It's been an amazing journey. We spoke about it earlier, but we were approved for LME. We're built for every product for CME Group. And then we were also approved for LME to hook up there for the ring trades between the COMEX and the LME. We were speaking with different salesmen in London who are trading the metals products and the margins they have to carry just due to trades not being processed in time. I mean, in 2018, when there was the equity vol blow up, there were trades that were out for 4 days and hundreds of millions of margin calls, all just from the volume surge. And again, the key punchers and the staffing for floor servicing, it's very lean because it has to be, because, you know, under normal volume days. But when we have these volume spikes and volatility, we have to be scalable so that we can handle that and get the trades back quickly and responsibly. And so we take that serious.
You were also telling me about a particularly large trade that you did compared to another group. So it was a 66-leg trade. So can you tell me the story of the 66-leg trade?
Right, Mike, is that the record, 66? Fact checking there.
I'm not. Yeah, it could be. I think so.
Okay, it was right in. It was probably about 155 headed into the close here in Chicago. We had a client call, and they asked us, and we had a competing brokerage group that was using Excel program, which was basically our old Excel program that we jettisoned and when we moved to cloud based. And they asked us. I didn't know that they were asking the other group, but they asked us, you know, they asked me, can you do this? I'm like, Mike, can we do this trade? And Mike's like, sure, we can do any trade that comes in here. And it was a 66-legged straddle strip with cross market futures. So like a red June straddle against a green June futures with wonky deltas anyway. And we were back, I believe, at 202, fully processed, done, ready to go. The other group that had Excel, they said, yeah, we can do it, but they couldn't. There's limitations with Excel, and they were I believe they were not punched at 7 o'clock, and the broker, who's a London broker, had everyone stay. So it's now 1 in the morning there. His firm's back office had to stay, and all the broker groups. But needless to say, it's much different than Excel. At the end of the day, what we found is if you're building the ticket after the trade, you've already lost. And that's the bottom line. If you're building these tickets after the trade has happened, you're going to be 20, 30 minutes at a minimum, if not 2 hours. And in very, very volatile times, you could have out trade trades on your books in the next morning. And if it's a weekend, even longer. And so we had a meeting once with our clients after I was in London, and it was after we were in production, and the back office came out, the risk managers came out, the market reg came out, head of execution came out, and they were so excited because the back office gets to leave at 8 o'clock, 2 o'clock our time, but 8 o'clock London time, instead of having to stay till 10, which is normal under manually trades, usually take about 4 o'clock to get everything cleaned up. Using Smart Confirm, our out trades are cleaned up and everything's processed before we leave. Now that's 2 o'clock.
That's great.
Yeah. So
what percentage of the broker groups in SOFR now are currently using Smart Confirm?
What do we have, Mike?
Probably 10? Close to half. Yeah. I think, we do. We have 10 different app instances in production. And
yeah.
There are just over 20. There's probably just over 20 groups in the pit, right?
Yeah. And some use it. Everyone's using some sort of augmented, system. It's just whether you're using one that is 100% outside vendor approved by CME, by major banks, by majority, I think, except for one of the floor service providers and FCMs, and the list continues to grow. Each time we add a house number, that opens up that house for, or that bank, or whatever, for direct processing through CME.
Yeah, I think we now have 25 house numbers activated for Smart Confirm.
So all of them are actually available, and this is the part about the give up. They are available for direct processing, so we can take a trade from XYZ Brokerage as an independent firm and send it back electronically, skipping the give up and the punch. Now that's much harder loop to fill, and we're working forward on that. But we will have to move forward with building Smart Confirm for order entry on EOS, because we have a lot of trades that are tied futures. You have to do the exit on the futures. And so we do have a lot of work to do there. It is available, and we are doing it with some firms have been able to, because once you go outside of the give up and punch, the firms have a harder time. It's part of their accounting and their billing. So they've had to adjust how they track these trades. Some firms have, because the savings is significant, as well as the onboarding process. Onboarding with Smart Confirm. And this was, part of the stuff that we talked about as far as misinformation about Smart Confirm is the ability to process the trades directly. What is Smart Confirm housing? Smart Confirm is only housing what is on the floor is known as a short code system. Off floor, they call it an omnibus account. Am I correct on that, Mike? So we're basically just housing omnibus accounts. We send it back through the CME, and then the banks, trade allocations go through normal process. These are all trades that show up as if they were punched manually. So it fits all their systems. It's universal. It fits all, the normal flow of the trades by going that route.
So how does the cost structure of Smart Confirm work?
Currently, our only agreements are with the execution brokers. So the execution broker groups have signed on to use Smart Confirm. And so the billing is done between Smart Confirm and the execution firms. So there's no paperwork for off-floor clients and end-user clients or our executing broker firms that we cover. This is a service that we provide, and we've found that it grows our volumes enough, as well as we've been able to hold rate by offering this service, because the clients are like, look, I'm not going with a discount broker and getting my trades back hours and days later. We want things back in a few minutes. That's what their clients are now seeing and demanding. Some may not know how it's happening, where some have their trades back in a few minutes and others are a couple of hours, but this is definitely the reason. And so our clients have been very supportive of us. And now they're being very supportive of other brokerage groups using this platform. So for kind of tricky for me as a broker, I like to, it gave us a huge competitive edge. And now, you know, that field's leveling. So we'll have to make some adjustments, but the pricing is between Smart Confirm and the execution brokers, period. So okay. No contract from any of the clients. And currently I would say most of the major, like this percentage of the major brokerage firms, the global firms, they're all in production and enjoying it. So the major players are on this as far as the global brokerage firms, and they're requesting that their floor brokers provide this service.
All right. So as a former online broker and someone that has conducted a lot of interviews about the history of open outcry trading, I know that bringing technology down to the trading floor originally was meant to enhance the open outcry experience. And what it really did in a lot of cases was it created a path towards electronic trading. But it sounds like this is something that has really enhanced the open outcry experience, made it better. Is this giving new life to open outcry trading products, do you think? I mean, you see the uptick in the volumes. Is this going to attract more volume and give life perhaps to even some other products down there on the trading floors?
I know that it is for ours. As far as other products, that's tricky because that's in the CME space. One thing that was interesting is when we were going to reopen, we had a phone call with the higher ups at the exchange, and they were asking us specifically, what would you need to reopen? And at the time I said, all I need is a gymnasium, some Wi-Fi, a pen and paper. And I'm happy to report, I spoke with the same higher ups after the March volumes and everything came through. And now we just need a gymnasium and Wi-Fi. We are totally mobile. We have our Bloomberg terminals, which we execute, you know, that's main communication paths and emails in the chats. We run Smart Confirm to process all of our trades. And then we use a cloud-based, NFA-approved telecom system. And that's it. And so we're mobile. And Mike even got rid of the pen and paper. So we've even taken it green. So we use the tablet. We have them hooked up with different systems. We send it, the breakdowns. The accuracy of our confirms has been more of the fascinating part, as you're saying, each technology has moved towards EOS. Yes, this makes open outcry easy, less risk, process back in minutes. We have massive hedge funds that we have fully executed contracts with that want all their trades back on the system. In their risk managers, once risk managers see this and they're like, I can have it back in 2 minutes and it doesn't cost anything and there's no contracts and it's safe and secure. Yeah, it's a win. But one thing we've noticed is that the ability to manage the electronic execution deck and adjust prices, deltas, underlyings, everything that goes with this product, and to manage that as an execution broker, I'm feeling pretty confident going forward. With not only open outcry, but the ability to enhance execution on EOS, which was one of the big, you know, was the biggest complaint during the shutdown, was how do we manage this order book risk? And we can do it. Mike has the stats. We're at 600. this isn't new. We're at 600 million contracts processed on this platform. We did 24.3 in March alone. Just not my group, but just Smart Confirm in general. So a very large chunk of the floor volume is being managed.
what kind of volume has your group itself done? I think you mentioned in March that you set a record or something like that for the amount of volume conducted on the floor.
Yeah, March was nuts. The my group did over 10 million options and futures with a team of 9 in one floater. And so anyone in the execution space will understand being able to process, execute, manage the risk, manage the orders in that type of volume at full pace, and we're finished at 2 o'clock. It was unbelievable. I believe the old records were set by Wayne back in the day around 6 million. We've hit that many times, but March was we finally crossed over 10. And for that many people to manage this cleanly, it's impressive. So thank you, Mike. This was all, and we continue to press forward.
All right, so. As I asked you before in the last interview, how does one get in contact with you, given that there's no website for you guys?
Yeah, we've kept it pretty low key. So.
Yeah, but they can send an email. That's probably the best way. info@smartconfirmlsc.com. Of course, right. if they know Mark, they know where to find Mark.
Or Limo. My bad. Oh,
yes.
Or either calls me Limo or Elmo.
Yeah. Why do I think I'm going to be taking sales calls for you guys?
We appreciate it. You're hired, John. And thank you so much for having it. Because it really has been. It's hard getting the word out there. Because one, we don't call on the end clients, so we're not interested. We don't want to break that line, right? By calling on our clients.
Nope. Yeah. Well, you need the viralness of somebody like me, so that's where I come in.
Yes. There was one time we were in London with one of the big hedge funds, and I was there just meeting with clients, and it was Wedbush, which is my clearer, and I can say that one of their salesmen was there calling on this massive hedge fund, not the biggest, but one of the big ones. And he was like, can you meet me over here? I want to show him Smart Confirm and what we can do from the floor on the equity side. So we ended up with the COO of their firm. And I just showed up to Smart Confirm. I was like, I am not here selling Mark IV or anything else. I'd probably get in trouble just being in this office. And it was an equities forward conversation. And we showed what we could do for the floor on equities. Within about 10 minutes, he went and grabbed the head of interest rates and operations. And he was like, okay, we want all of our rates trades back on this. I'm like, I can't cover you, but these firms and these brokerage firms out here have access to this via the execution brokers that they use. And so that it's just really hard to get the word out there that it's available for end clients. And it's just a request of their existing brokers that cover them now. And then those brokers are familiar with it because their execution brokers on the floor use it and they want to use it. So I appreciate any help getting the word out there.
Yeah, you should probably hit up some of those London pubs for some money too, for getting those guys in operations in the pubs earlier than normal.
Oh yeah. No, they're happy. It's so funny. We go meet with the new salesmen now and the cash guys. And I tell them, look, we'll provide 10, 40,000, 50,000 up markets, super tight, and I'll get your stuff back in a couple of minutes. And it's really nice when the ops and the market reg and the attorneys are all nodding, yes, he can do it. It's like, okay, this is an easy sell from that point. But really, it's just been myself out selling, making the rounds, and Mike working with the firms once we're up and running.
So how do you get your house number activated?
So the CME controls which house numbers are turned on in Smart Confirm. It's actually, they add a house number to Smart Confirm's message channel. And so in order for the CME to do this, they need authorization from the FCM or from the clearing member, which is as simple as a quick email or a phone call. And once a back operations manager from the firm says, hey, we want to turn on this house number for for Smart Confirm, then they CME makes the change to our message queue, and then I make the change based on what, you know, the firm, follow the firm's directions on which account numbers to enable within the app, and then, you know, it's ready to go usually by the next business day. There's no cost involved.
Controls. So the banks and the FCMs and each one, they have control of what brokers, what omnibus accounts or short code accounts that broker can submit to. So they, it also gives them full control of all the trades coming in to their risk, versus the old days where any broker could drop off any card at a key punch and they'll just punch it into the systems. So this gives them far more control as to what's coming in and what brokers are approved to even submit to their firm. So if a broker is not in good standing or anything else, or they need to shut someone off, they can just flip the switch and that's it. And so they also enjoy that, the controls that it gives them.
And there's no client info that needs to be stored in the app. There's nothing more is needed than what's already being written on the order ticket.
Right. And the data that, you know, we've had some people say, oh, we're selling the data. One, the data, these are all trades that have happened and they're on the board. It's all post-trade execution trades that's available to anyone. So as far as the data, and then also as a member, I'm barred from selling any client data. So there's absolutely no data there that's not open, as well as there's no chance of us being able to sell data. And I can't just set up a different LLC and then say, oh, I'm over here. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let me ask you this final question. What's the future of this company? Is this something that you guys, you know, want to max out in terms of, you know, getting everybody signed up? Is it something that you see you selling to the exchange or selling to a third party vendor or something like that? Or are you in it for the long term?
Well, at this point, we're in it for the long term. We're currently just pressing to continue to get more and more house numbers on board. The direction that we're going, we got about a list of about 100 things that we need to get moving, just even for additional functionality. But also we are going to build out for EOS, because our ability to manage the order deck and the execution risk for our confirmations are this spot on. What's the difference of front end and back end for us? So those are long-term goals. I would say it's another year out. And so we would be open to a strategic partnership with large brokerage firms that can help move this product along, or some sort of a strategic buyout for funding so we can really press on the gas with finishing up the product. But it, in order to skip the give up completely, we do need to be built for EOS. And we use EOS all the time. I mean, it's a synergy between the two, between the pit, the floor, the blocks, management of market information and everything. I mean, it takes a community to move this type of volume.
You got a number yet? Where it would take you out?
I don't know. We did a valuation a few years ago. We were 3x where we were there. I think we'll be 3x again and probably double that after 2 years. And Mike has all the growth stats. We continue to get adoption. And so we're excited about the future. We're excited about the future of the exchange. We're excited about the future of the floor and just the volumes and the product. I mean, coming in after COVID, we weren't sure if this product was going to fly, what the interest was going to be. We saw that there was some interest, but currently the interest that we're seeing, it's large and it's amazing. So we're at this point in time, I would say we are open to any possibilities that'll help the open outcry community, as well as the execution brokers. So for us as execution brokers, my only goal is to move as much volume as safely and efficiently as we can. And whatever venue that is. And if we're managing the risk of the orders, providing the prices, the liquidity, and the processing, I think that's a fair value for our clients. And I know that they agree. and they're happy with the serving.
All right. I think that's a great place to end.